Meet Rupert. The character is fictional. The experience is shared by people across Southeast today. This is their story. In Worthing West, the NHS faces a workforce crisis while training places sit empty and qualified applicants are turned away. The expertise exists to teach them, the facilities exist to train them, and the wards exist that need them. Yet somewhere between Treasury spending limits and Health Education England budget caps, the connection never happens. This is Rupert's account of trying to bridge that gap.
I spent 15 years in the city, watching numbers move around screens, making good money but feeling increasingly empty. My nephew started struggling with panic attacks when he was 16, and watching him navigate a mental health system stretched to breaking point changed something in me. When I had my own health scare at 40, nothing serious, but enough to make you think, I knew I wanted to do something that actually mattered. I'd been volunteering with a local suicide prevention charity, and the work felt more real than anything I'd done in banking. Mental health nursing seemed like the perfect fit, taking everything I'd learned about working under pressure and applying it to work that could genuinely save lives. The University of Brighton accepted me onto their mental health nursing program for September 2022. I was thrilled. After years of feeling like I was just shuffling money around, I was finally going to train for something that would make a difference. I handed in my notice at the bank, started reading around the subject, even bought the textbooks early. 2 weeks before the course was due to start, I got an email that changed everything. Due to funding constraints from Health Education England, we regret to inform you that your place on the mental health nursing program has been withdrawn. I read it 3 times before it sank in. I called the admissions tutor immediately. She sounded genuinely sorry. It's not about your application, she explained. Health Education England has had their budget for training places cut by HM Treasury as part of the spending limits. We simply have fewer places than we thought we'd have. I wasn't ready to give up. I appealed directly to Health Education England Southeast, thinking maybe there had been a mistake, maybe they could find additional funding. The manager I spoke to was blunt. We simply don't have the budget for additional training places this year. The Treasury has set spending caps, and we have to work within them. It sounded reasonable. Budgets have limits. Everyone has to live within their means. I tried the University of Portsmouth instead. Same story. Health Education England funding has been reduced, they told me. We'd love to take more students, but our hands are tied. I applied again to Brighton for 2023, determined not to let one setback derail everything. They provisionally accepted me. I felt hopeful again. Then 3 months later, another email. We regret to inform you that due to continued constraints on Health Education England funding, this says the exact same words, the exact same reason. That's when I started to notice things that didn't quite add up. Walking past the University of Brighton's health building one afternoon, I looked up at the windows. Entire floors were dark. I'd never really paid attention before, but now I could see that most of the building seemed empty. I struck up a conversation with the security guard. Used to run 3 cohorts of nursing students, he told me. Now it's just 1. Same facilities, most of the same teaching staff, but they say there's no money for more students. I asked if I could look around. He wasn't supposed to, but something in my voice must have convinced him. What I saw didn't make sense. Floor after floor of empty classrooms with whiteboards still showing nursing diagrams from previous lessons. Simulation labs with expensive medical training equipment sitting unused behind locked doors. Mannequins that could simulate heart attacks, breathing difficulties, all the scenarios student nurses need to practice on. The building felt like a ghost town, but not because it was old or broken. It felt abandoned despite being perfectly functional. There were people like me all over Worthing who wanted to retrain for healthcare. I'd met some of them through the charity work. There were NHS trusts across the southeast desperately short of mental health nurses. I'd seen the job adverts, and here was a building with empty classrooms, unused equipment and teaching staff who were qualified to train us. The only thing missing was permission to connect these pieces. That's when I started hearing the phrase, "There is no funding differently. The UK government issues the pound. It doesn't find pounds lying around somewhere before it spends them. It creates them when it decides to spend them." The question wasn't whether pounds existed to pay for more training places. The question was whether the government chose to create and spend the pounds that would fill those empty classrooms. Everything was there. The people who wanted to train, the facilities to train them in, the teaching staff to train them, the NHS trust that needed them once trained. The only missing piece was a political decision to connect them. Instead, someone in Westminster had decided that training more mental health nurses was not worth creating the pounds for. They dressed that choice up as though the government had looked in its wallet and found it empty. I used to accept the excuse that there was no money. I hear it differently now. The government that prints the notes and mints the coins told me it could not find enough of them to train the people who were standing right there, ready to work. The real question was never about money, it was about whether the people existed, whether the skills could be taught, whether the materials were available. They were. All of them. The excuse was not a fact, it was a choice wrapped in the language of impossibility. It is the same logic as a household that says, we cannot afford it, except a household does not issue its own currency, the government does. The limit was never the money, the limit was the willingness to spend it into the places and the people who needed it. I'm still here, still watching those empty floors in the health building, still seeing the job adverts for mental health nurses that the NHS can't fill, still thinking about my nephew and all the young people like him, who need support from professionals who were never trained, because someone decided the government couldn't afford to create the pounds to train them. This isn't just my story, it's the story of every constituency where need and capacity exist side by side while Westminster insists the cupboard is bare.
What Rupert experienced has a name, fake experts. Throughout history, industries have deployed supposed authorities to defend profitable myths. Tobacco companies cited doctors who claimed smoking was harmless. Pharmaceutical companies funded researchers who downplayed addiction risks. The technique is always the same. Find credentials that sound impressive, then use them to make the harmful seem reasonable. In Rupert's case, every time he questioned why training places sat empty while applicants were turned away, officials cited unnamed economists who supposedly proved that spending on nurse training would trigger inflation. Economists say we cannot spend more on health without causing inflation, became the standard response. But which economists? The profession is divided. Many macroeconomists argue the binding constraint is real capacity, not currency. Saying economists say without naming them is an appeal to unnamed authority. The fake experts technique works because it sounds scientific. It transforms a political choice, deciding not to train nurses, into an economic law that cannot be questioned. But the UK government issues its own currency. It doesn't need to find pounds before spending them. The real constraint is resources. People willing to train, teachers able to teach them, facilities to house the training. In Worthing West, all of these existed. The resources existed. The people existed. The decision not to connect them was political, not financial. Worthing West ranks 336 out of 543 English constituencies on the deprivation scale, English Indices of Deprivation, 2025 MHCLG. The constituency has 2,680 registered charities, Charity Commission Register. Total grants received amount to £25.4 million, 360 giving grant nav. All sources are published at blockedbritain.co.uk. Blocked Britain tells the stories of people whose lives are shaped by the gap between what Britain needs and what its institutions choose to provide. Every character is fictional. Every situation is drawn from official statistics. Produced by Blocked Britain.